yourself as an outsider, you have a part. You have a part of this ministry.
Yes,
and I believe in, just like Jesus did, that those who he started with early on, he left them with great responsibility. And this is what we expect from each of you as you become trained in the things of God. Is for the purpose of being able to have you be a sovereign agent of God.
Yes.
To go out into wherever God has dispatched you to be in the world.
Amen.
And no matter how old you are, no matter how old you are, that doesn't make a difference, because you interact with people every day at any age group. And many, there, you'd be surprised, you know, Abraham was called at 75, right? Think about that.
Amen.
He could have went his whole life not being saved.
Mm-hmm.
And at 75, he got saved. He had
That's
an encounter with God. And the Bible says he believed God. See? And so no matter where you are, age has no bearing on it. Because you're going to find some people that are in a nursing home that aren't saved.
Amen.
There can be people in any situation that are not saved. In Donovan School, there's some folks not saved. Quite a few.
Amen.
So you have a purpose. And God sprinkles us like salt and pepper out into the world. You know, and he says that the salt has lost its savor. What good is it? But to be trodden down, thrown down, and trodden under the feet of men. So that's why there's a spackling of different kinds of people, different age groups, different backgrounds, different professions.
Yes.
You may even be retired. God's not done with you yet.
Amen.
He loves you right where you are, and he can use you in the place where he has planted you. Amen. So it doesn't make any difference. Being saved is the big deal. That's the big deal.
Yes,
you know, it doesn't make any difference where he uses you in the body. If you're used to teach, to sing, to pray, to just be kind, give a kind hand to someone, because these are things that the world knows little about. Most of the time when the world gives you something, it's looking for something in return.
That's right.
And God has given us a gift that surpasses any ability to comprehend.
Amen.
And he told you, give it away. He's got enough of it to give it to everybody. And that is the mission of the church. He said, go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's what we call church. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Then he said, lo, I am with you all the days. I like the fact the Greek literally says all the days.
Yes.
You know, I like that better than always, because I don't know how long that is. But however many days there are.
Yep.
You know, and I believe this too. I believe God just made one day and it recycles over and over that one day. That's why when it says, this is the day that the Lord has made. He made one day, day and night. And it goes in cycles of seven. And it keeps going that one day, day and night, day and night, day and night. And then the Bible says later on in Revelation, there's coming a time when there won't be any need for the sun nor the moon.
Yes.
But it'll be just daytime, period. That day, you'll be in the day of the Lord, the great day of the Lord.
Glory of the Lord.
You see, and so that we look forward to that day. But he's given us these cycles of a day and night. Amen. I don't want to spend too much time with that. That's, see, you muse about different things in your mind. You know, when you think about what God said, there's coming a time, and when there will be just one day, there won't be any need for time. Time won't be anymore. Be in eternity with the Most High God. Amen. But you and I get a glimpse of that here, and we get the privilege to share it. And God wants us to give it away to as many as possible.
Yes.
You know, and he loves us and has made provision for us to do that. So let's move along. Y'all know we've been sojourning here in the last few lessons, talking about signs. And I think signs are terribly important. So today, we've had a few of them over our past few weeks, if you've been keeping track. And I know you have. Most of you all get into this kind of stuff. We talked about the sign of the return of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the sign of the mystery of iniquity. Okay, and we're starting to see, we saw the sign of the man of sin.
Yes.
And today we're going to talk about the sign of the apostasy. We talked about that just a little. The word apostasy is kind of a $10 word, but it just means falling away.
Falling away.
And so we're starting to see that, and all these things are going on. And right in our own time, we're seeing some things happening that can't be ignored.
Amen.
If you have your spiritual eyeglasses on, you can't ignore these things.
That's right.
When you see, for example, we talked about the four blood moons and a tetrad, which is a group of four that all fall on Jewish holidays. A lot of talk about that on TV. Most people are saying, send us $49.99 and we're going to send you a moon tariff cloth to put on your head or some craziness. But it's really not about that. You know, It's not about you send me $99.99 and then we'll send you a shofar to blow or none of that.
Right.
You know, it's crazy. That's people doing that. They capitalize on it and all that, but that's not the purpose of it. The purpose is to wake you up, those of you who have spiritual eyes to see, to realize where the world is going, so you can also be on your guard to keep your act together. It's not that we're saved by works, but there is an evil devil that's out to destroy.
Yes,
steal, kill, and destroy. So he would like to get you hung up in something that'll get you off your course, you know, and pull you away from your steadfastness in Christ. He would like to blind the minds, that's what the Bible says he does, of all those who do not believe the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. He's probably blinding some people you know right now, keeping them blinded to the fact that Jesus is Lord. He's the only way. God says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. No man comes to the Father but by me. The world is in contest against that. The devil does not want you to believe that. See? So he says, oh, there are many ways to lead to God. How could God be so narrow as to say that it's only Jesus? You know, and that's the kind of thing the devil puts in people's mind. But the world is configured around Christ. In spite of that. It's not 2015 because of Buddha or anybody else who says that they have a way to God. It's only that way because of Jesus Christ. So it's necessary for us to embrace the gospel, take a stand for the gospel, don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel.
Right.
That's what Paul said.
Amen.
And so Israel failed to accept Christ when he came.
Amen.
That was no surprise to God. It was written in his word.
Yes, it was.
They were so blind they didn't see it. It was right in the book he entrusted them with throughout all the generations from Abraham all the way up until the birth of Christ, which was 42 generations. God started to speak the word through the Jews. And the Jews had the secrets of God, the oracles of God. It was not given to the world at large, although it was never held against the world at large.
Yes.
God always expected the Jews to be an evangelistic tool in his hand to reach the world. And we know that because we see so many in the world along the path of Israel's 42 generations. They got saved, even though they were not Jews.
Amen.
The Bible bears witness of it.
Yes,
Ruth the Moabitess. Some people like to say the Moabitess, whichever way you like it. You know, I like Moabitess, okay, because it sounds for some reason, I don't know. But in either case, Rahab the harlot, we always hear that, got saved. We could go on and on talking about Gentiles. Naaman the Assyrian was saved by grace.
Amen.
All of them who got saved were saved by grace.
Amen.
Grace.
The law was just a schoolmaster to let you see you need grace or you can't be saved. Why? Because the law is perfect. It's holy, just, and good. You know, the law is absolutely perfect. God's law. This is the law I'm talking about. And I have to specify because people try to politicize the word of God today. We heard some on the radio. I had to turn it off yesterday. Couldn't listen to it anymore. Trying to turn Christianity into republicanism. It's not about that. It's bigger than that. This is a message to the world. To every man, woman, boy, and girl on the planet. It's not about Republicans and Democrats and the Green Party. No, don't do that. That's wrong. God's message is to the globe, everyone on the globe. See, it's not about Republicans and Democrats, and it's not even about Jews and Gentiles anymore. The message of God is whosoever believes in the name of the Son of God shall not be put to shame. He said, go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The early church got off to a good start.
Yes.
Paul went out into many nations, Gentile nations, spreading the good news about Christ. But the gospel started like God wanted it to. He said, go first to Jerusalem, because that's the city that I set apart for my name. That's where my people are.
Yes.
You know, and he had already said before that, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their sins and forgive their land. He will forgive their sins and heal their land. See, and the land was sick. You and I live in a sick land. We need to understand it. It is sick. Some people think sick is good these days. I should have to flip that around. When you say something is sick now, that means, oh, it's really nice. It's really good. Well, I'm talking about sick, bad.
Yes.
You know, because there's sickness in the culture.
Yes.
And only healing for it, God has already given a balm to heal all the sickness in the culture. See? But people don't want to take the medicine. See? And so that's where we are now. But he sent this message to go around the globe. He said, go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and then to the uttermost part of the earth. And to cover Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, that's where all the Jews were located at that time. Physical location was in Jerusalem, the main city. Judea and Samaria. But Jesus prophesied because of his rejection. He came and wept over the city, and at the city hit brow of the hill and said, oh, my people don't even recognize the time of their visitation. I'm here. He actually wept over it. In other words, there was no reason other than the fact that they had entered into a strong, hardened unbelief that they should not have known that he was coming. Why? I told you. Wrote a whole book about it. Gave you all of that. All the Old Testament. Wrote that whole thing for you. 39 books from the prophets, from the days of Moses all the way to Malachi. And I'm here now, and you reject me. But he already knew they would reject him. Because it was in those 39 books. Right. The crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection of Christ was revealed from Moses to Malachi. In the Psalms, in the prophets, and in the law. And so he came, but it was lamentable because they didn't have to reject him.
That's right.
No, they didn't have to.
They chose to reject him.
Yes.
God makes us free. You and I are free moral agents. Right. If you reject Christ, that's you. You doing it.
That's right.
We recommend you don't do it. You know, that's why we're here. We're here to encourage you and press you to believe Christ.
Yes.
Trust in him. Lean and depend on him. Why? Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't just throw him into a big pot with gods or deities and say he's one of many. Well, if he is, he's a lame one. If he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me. That's either true or false. It cancels everything else but him. See, and if you believe him at all, you have to believe he tells the truth or he can't save anybody.
That's right.
You see, but the fact is, we know he tells the truth, and God configured the world around him because he is the truth.
Amen.
And so we got to get right there. You need to be firm. This is no time to waffle on what you believe, because that's the only thing detrimental to a person's soul is failure to accept Christ.
Yes.
That's it.
Because God will forgive you of everything else. That's what the cross was about.
Thank you, Lord.
See, the cross was there to say, you can't help yourself. You break my law, all of you, every one of you.
Yes.
All we like sheep have gone astray.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Isaiah 53:6.
Yes.
Everyone has turned aside to his own way. But the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all upon him.
Yes.
You see, he laid the iniquity. That means all our inborn sin and our proclivity to defy God was laid on Christ.
Yes.
And God rejected him himself. Let him hang there and bleed and die between heaven and earth. And the reason he did that is so that he could be satisfied. Somebody had to satisfy God.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do it.
Wow.
No way I can satisfy God. If you're sincere yourself about who you are in your life, you know you can't satisfy God.
No.
How often have I sinned?
Uh-huh.
Even though I've been saved, how often have I sinned? Right. Y'all don't want to hear that from the pulpit,
right,
do you?
Right, right.
You know, but how often have you sinned, either willfully or accidentally?
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody made you mad, boom, and you went off, said the wrong thing. You know it was wrong.
Yes.
We've done that.
Yes, we do.
We want to be truthful.
Yeah.
Not that we're all pristine and holy and God has accepted us because we're so great.
No.
You know, we needed a sacrifice.
Yes, we do.
God needs perfection to be satisfied. One person supplied that. That was his own son.
Jesus.
You know, he came out of eternity for that purpose. God prepared a body for him. Sent him into the world through a prophecy that he had said in his word. Came exactly accurately through the way God said. Fulfilling prophecy that he has spoken in his word.
Yes.
We'll get to our text in a minute. Y'all grant me a little time here. And I want you to see that he fulfilled everything that he promised. With flawless accuracy from being born in Bethlehem of Judea.
Yes.
As Micah said, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. To be crucified on the cross, Psalms 22 said, they pierced my hands and my feet. And my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken on the cross.
Yes.
All those things that were promised by God that would happen to Messiah happened to him. Said he was with the wicked in his death.
Yes.
And he was with the rich. It says, who Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, loaned him his tomb. Because he knew he wouldn't need it before a few days.
Amen.
And he let him, and his tomb was not corrupted because his body did not see corruption. All of that. So the tomb was still clean when Jesus got through using it. You see, that's something you don't hear much talk about, the empty tomb. It was clean.
Yes.
The linen had no varnish, no stain. It was perfect.
Yes.
When they went in and found the linen after Jesus had risen from the dead.
See,
and if whatever you have that's supposed to be religion can't get you out the grave, I suggest you divorce that thing right now. Get rid of it because it's not going to help you.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm excited about the truth of the gospel because it covers even the penalty for sin.
Amen.
What did God tell Adam? The day you sin, what? You shall surely die. Death was the penalty of sin. The only solution to the problem has been presented to the world by Jesus Christ. He's the only one. If they could have found that body, there wouldn't be anything to preach. There wouldn't even be a church.
That's right. Amen.
There'd be no church. We have nothing to preach. You can just shut your mouth and go home. It was hopeless for everybody. But the fact is, the church is here because Christ was risen from the dead. They looked and searched diligently to find that body. They knew we got to have this body to shut this down. Couldn't find it. You see, because it didn't exist. Jesus got up out of the grave. It was not there dead like they were looking for a dead body. But he said, no, behold, I am alive forevermore. You know, and he presented himself alive for 40 days after he got up out of the grave. Shook off death, got on up out of the grave. Why? Because he himself was not worthy of death. See, and so this is the hope of the resurrection. Daniel the prophet, as we look at our text here today, I'm going to kind of take you through this. We want to talk about signs of the apostasy. Now, apostasy, we see it as a kind of a $10 word. It means the falling away of the church.
Yes.
When God's people fall away, has that happened before? I want to just ask the question. The answer is yes.
Amen.
The Jews fell away the first time when Christ came. They had another whole thing going on other than what they should have been looking for.
Amen.
And they were so blind that they couldn't even see Messiah when he came.
Yes.
Certain ones did. The ones who believed, the Bible says in John chapter 1, he came to his own, but his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the sons of God.
Yes.
Even those that believe on his name. See that? He came to his own.
Yes.
And his own received him not. Why did they receive him?
Wow.
They had the book. They had the scrolls.
Yes, they did.
They read it. But it was unbelief.
Yeah.
They had changed the meaning of it to mean what they wanted it to mean.
Yes.
Instead of the fact that God must send his son into the world. He must taste death for everyone in order to satisfy God. That's what Isaiah had said. Isaiah 53 told that there was only one way God was satisfied. And that was by the offering of his own son. You can see that if you read that 53rd chapter of Isaiah. The Jews had read it for centuries.
Yes, they did.
And then when he showed up in order to pay the sacrifice, we don't believe you're the Messiah. You know, and they rejected him. And even that was written in the word, that they would reject me when I come. You know, he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, it says there. In Isaiah 53, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. It was so hideous and horrible what we did to him, the way we abused him, you see. And the fact is, he loved them anyway, but he had came and he knew there would be apostasy, the falling away of the Jews.
Yes.
Now, the tragic thing is now for 2015 years, there's been a church in the world. The gospel is kind of on the back burner in a lot of the church. Today, we hear a lot about health, wealth, and prosperity, and how God is going to give you favor and all that. And he does, and I'm not trying to say God doesn't, because he does. You know, we have a pretty good measure of prosperity and favor. But we can't forget the foundation upon which the church has been. If the foundation is taken away, what will the righteous do, the Proverbs say? You know, what's going to happen if you take the foundation out from under a building? What happens to a building if you snatch out the foundation? Boom, it collapses. See? And so the sign of the apostasy, when you start seeing the church, who is supposed to represent God, falling away from the central thing upon which the church is built, that's a problem, a serious problem. It's a red flag.
Yes.
And you and I, that's why it says there is a sign when you see the great falling away. Now, I'm going to show you a prophecy here in Daniel chapter 9, and we're going to kind of stay in this while for a while. We're going to have another lesson or two to help you understand this. And we only add a little layer more to your understanding each lesson. Daniel 9, verse 20. Think about this first of all. Daniel was in the exile. He's been exiled with the southern kingdom. At a young age, he was taken away from his family. His family was probably put to death. And they saved the young people and brought them through. And their plan was the old heads are stuck in their ways. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Kill them. Take the kids. Brainwash them. Raise them up in our culture. I think we're getting some of that today. The kids are being brainwashed.
Amen.
With a bunch of hogwash because people who are against God want to run everything.
Yes.
So they throw on God out, get rid of the Bible. We don't need that in the schools. We don't need prayer. Because why? We want to introduce homosexuality.
Yes.
We want to introduce dope. We want to introduce things that we can control people's lives with.
Yes.
You know, we want other sexual partners that are not contaminated like all these we already been dealing with, that half of them are dead. And we want new meat, if you will, for me to use a very vulgar type of term.
That's it.
And so they're contaminating young people's minds. You know, and they understand that this stuff kills. There's been generations in that particular age group that have died from practicing immoral behavior.
Amen.
And immoral behavior will send you to the grave.
Yes,
you don't hear much about that. You hear a lot of talk about sex education, and it's trying to teach you how to indulge in these things rather than telling you the biological possibilities of how much damage you can do to your physical body just by practicing such things,
yes.
You know, outside the bonds of holy matrimony.
Amen.
And it's not so much necessarily about that. If you trust God, God will lead you and guide you and get you into a situation. God is not against sex. Let me add that. We talked about this at the midweek Bible study.
Amen.
He invented it.
Yes.
Amen.
He made it pleasurable, and he wants you to enjoy it.
Yes.
He wants you to do it the right way.
Amen.
Not the way the world wants you to do it.
Yes.
You see, the world just talks about the pleasure end of it and you having fun and giving yourself to all the fun and all that without talking about the disaster that it will bring into your life.
Yes.
So you may not hear much preaching like this either. It's probably not very popular. But in Daniel's day, it was him, and we hear about Daniel and three of his friends. They were called by pagan names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember them? Okay. And of course, they were in the midst of the Babylonian captivity. The king was trying to brainwash them to stop believing in your God and worship an image that I'm setting up.
Yeah.
See, kind of what we're getting today. Mm-hmm. Forget about your God. We have another God for you, you know, to worship. But of course, they didn't fall in for it. Daniel stayed faithful to his God,
yes,
and so did his friends.
Amen.
Throughout the whole time that they were trying to be brainwashed, taken away from the foundations of what Israel was about. Mm-hmm. So Daniel was praying. This is the thing I want you to see. Daniel 9 and 20. And while I was speaking and praying, now you notice there might be a difference between speaking and praying to God. Have you thought about that?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking might just be what you say with your mouth. Praying might be something that's in your soul you need to communicate to God.
Mm-hmm.
See? And praying could be without words.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking is with words.
Mm-hmm.
Praying might be without words.
Right.
That's what it seems to suggest.
Mm-hmm.
He says, while I was speaking and praying, and confessing my sins and the sin of my people Israel. See, he could see the sin of his country around him. I hope we can see the sin of ours.
All right.
And presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Now, what he's talking about there is Jerusalem has been trampled over, the place that God set apart for his name. And now we've been taken out. The temple has been burnt with fire and destroyed. The place of worship that God established is now trampled over by a bunch of people who don't even believe him. So he's praying for the restoration of that. And why? Because the prophet said it would be 70 years. And God said, because you didn't rest the land for 70 years, I'm going to take you out of your land for 70 years. And Daniel knew that time was coming up. 70 years was almost gone. He was a teen when he got taken into captivity. And now he's getting to be an old man. So he starts to pray to God, Lord, when are you going to fulfill that word that you said through Jeremiah that will be 70 years? And he's asking him to restore the temple mount where we go and worship, the place we must go to worship God. See that? Yet, whilst I was speaking in my praises, even the man, Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, God had sent Gabriel to Daniel earlier in his life, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. See that right around the time that he would normally have been up in that temple that he's asking God about here.
Mm-hmm.
And he informed me and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding.
Yes.
God will give you skill and understanding how to navigate evil days that we're living in.
Yes, he will.
Go to him and ask him to give you a mind to understand where we are in time.
Amen.
Tell me, God, what I need to do in this situation that I'm dealing with here in my life.
Yes.
Tell me how I can be useful to you in this evil time that I'm living in, God.
Follow.
He'll do it. That's what it says here.
Yes.
And at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. In other words, God dispatched an angel immediately when Daniel began to pray.
Uh-huh.
He says, when the commandment came, that was from God, go and deal with Daniel. See, help him in his prayer. Help him execute the things he needs to do. The Bible says the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation.
Amen.
Hebrews 1:14. You know, we need to take this stuff serious.
Yes, we do.
Get in your prayer closet and ask God for the things you need to help you navigate this world. God's going to say, go, send the ministering angels down to take care of what you need. That's what he did for Daniel. Daniel was serious with God. Notice this now. He gives this prophecy. Consider, he says, the matter, consider the vision. This is what I want you to understand, Daniel. Verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, speaking of Jerusalem, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and anoint the most holy. Christ Jesus is called the anointed one.
Amen.
And he is the most holy.
Yes, he is.
And he would be born, and Daniel gets the prophecy of the coming Messiah right here in Daniel 9 and 24. And also the fate of the holy city, Jerusalem, is told him. Because now they're in captivity. There's no temple on the mount. It's been destroyed, and they have been scattered to different nations here and there now in Babylonian captivity, along with all the exiles from the northern kingdom. So they're all here now in this situation. Daniel's getting the answer. Know therefore, verse 25, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince, that's the Moshiach Nagid in the Hebrew, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. 62 is 60 and 2. That's 62 and 7 is 69, if you add it up. That's 69 weeks. Now, and these are not literal just weeks of 7 days. These are weeks of 7 years. God, did you know that a 7-year period is considered a week in prophecy? So this is basically 483 years, it would be in this case. So it was 483 years after the captivity in Babylon that Messiah showed up in Jerusalem. You see what I'm saying? He was born in Bethlehem of Judea, but he came and lived, was raised in Nazareth, and he came in as Messiah in Jerusalem, exactly according to this prophecy. Mm-hmm. See that? And this was like 400 and some years after what it says here, 69 weeks of years. And basically it says, and the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Now that was the time when the Jews were still in foreign captivity, but they were under Roman dominion by that time. Mm-hmm. Babylon had fallen, the Medes and the Persians had fallen, and Alexander the Great had fallen. Now the Romans were in power at this time. So all these generations, kingdoms came and went in between time. And the Jews were back there. Herod built them a temple, and Christ came to that temple exactly like this prophecy says. Mm-hmm. We don't have time to go into all the minutiae. This is great if we did, but we won't be able to do it today. We've only got a couple of minutes left here, so we're going to move right along. But I want you to know it was a precision prophecy given to Daniel when he was in troublous times. And at 69, you might say, well, what happened to the 70? Okay, when Messiah came, notice what it says here. We see 69 weeks there, or which is everything but one, 1 week short. Now look in Daniel 9:26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. That speaks of the death of Christ. But not for himself. Guess who he was cut off for? Me. And you. And whosoever believes in him. Yeah. Cut off means to be put to death. Messiah was crucified, we might say. And the people of the prince that shall come. Now, there's a gap between this prophecy here, because he came and he was cut off, not for himself. That would end the first generation of the church, the time when Christ was crucified. And there's a big gap in this space here in verse 26, all the way up to our time. And I'll explain that in a minute. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war... And to the end of the war, desolations are determined. So it's going to be the prince. It says here, the people of the prince that shall come. That's the man of sin. The Antichrist who comes in the last days, in the last 7-year period of prophetic history. But God gave it all to Daniel in one block here, including the first advent and the second advent of Jesus Christ. Verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant, speaking of the Antichrist, the man of sin, with many for 1 week. There's the other week that was left over, the 70th week of Daniel. And in the midst of the week, that means 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, because they're going to be back in that temple, that third temple, which is now being planned by the Jews. The temple that's there that Messiah came to was destroyed. Remember that? Mm-hmm. in 70 AD. But there must be a temple there for the man of sin to come. And here's the prophecy. I wanted you to see that. And so he comes into that final temple, which is in the plans of the Jews right now to be built. And it'll be there. And the man of sin will come and sit in there. And the church will be falling away, just like it has been. Was at the time the Jews rejected Christ. Notice it says that he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, because the Jews are going to go back to temple sacrifice and worship, and he's going to cause it to stop. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, in other words, to the end of times, when God is wrapping up everything. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. That's the final conflict between God and the Antichrist. So what I want you to see here, and we were covering a lot of territory here, is that the first advent of Christ, he was received only by the remnant of the Jews, mm-hmm. and initiated the new covenant that God promised. You can see Hebrews 8:8, or Jeremiah 31:31 says, in a new covenant, he's going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel. And he says, not like the covenant I made when I led them by the hand, brought them out of the land of Egypt. Yes. He says, but a new covenant he's going to make, and he's going to put his law in your heart and in your mind.
Yes.
The prophecy of the coming of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
When Christ was born, the Holy Spirit was given to whosoever believes in him. Now, this was in accordance with God's initial promise to Abraham, who was a Gentile at the time. Mm-hmm. He said to bless all the nations through your seed, who is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. See that? So God promised Abraham there were no Jews when Abraham was called.
That's right. Amen.
God called him and he created the Jews out of them. But he said, "All in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed."
Right.
So Jeremiah comes back and picks that up and says that it's going to be through Jesus Christ that the whole world, whosoever believes in him, will be blessed.
Amen.
Now, the second thing I want you to see is that all these promises were fulfilled. All these promises were more well-defined during the captivity of the southern kingdom that we just spoke about, Judah and Benjamin, after 586 B.C. through the prophet Daniel, who wrote about the 70 weeks of years, which is a period of 490 years, of which 69 weeks were fulfilled at the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, with one final week or seven-year period remaining, which is the Great Tribulation period, and which is preceded by the great apostasy or the falling away of the church. That's
wow.
where we are now.
Wow.
And which occurs as a result of sick leadership of the Antichrist, the man of sin. He is going to be the one that rises to power.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what Paul said last week? We looked at 2 Thessalonians. He said that the man of sin must be revealed first.
Yes.
You know? And so this is the time we're setting up for. And I just wanted to give you a good crunch here in prophecy today. And so as we take notice of the convergence of the many signs spoken of in the Word, let's first of all be certain of our personal salvation. That's the first thing you want to do.
Amen.
Make sure you're saved.
Amen.
And be overt about the salvation of as many as or we are able as we see the signs being fulfilled.
Oh, yeah.
And press on to call everyone to Jesus Christ,
yes.
who is the hope of salvation.
Yes.
We must do that because we see all these signs are lining up. Now remember the Thessalonians, and I'm almost done. I want you to see this. In 2 Thessalonians, we talked about this last week, so I put it back on your lesson today. He said, "We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." They were looking forward to the coming of Christ at that time. The Thessalonians were told, and they were always in anticipation of the return of Christ.
Yes.
You and I should live like that.
Yes.
Suppose Jesus is coming today. Do you have your act together?
Follow.
Are you living the way you think he would want you living when he returns?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not, fix it.
Yeah.
Pray to him. Get right. Straighten up some things. If you're not saved, get saved. That's what we want to say first off. Make sure you know that you have accepted Christ. You can't do any work to be saved.
Right.
All you can do is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And
as many as believe him, to them, he gives the right to be called the children of God. You trust in him. That's the only way you can be clean. He is the only one that ever satisfied God. He did it for you. He didn't do it for himself.
Yes.
He didn't need to be saved. He was God. But he came into the world to pick up the weight of our sin and our transgression on himself so that whoever trusts him, like John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So it's a mission of salvation. We want to be very clear with that gospel. So Paul says, I'm beseeching and begging you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him, which is the blessed hope that we all look forward to, is being with Christ when all this sin, perversion, corruption, death, violence, all those things will be put away forever. He says that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled. Don't be troubled or shaken in mind if you're saved. Neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us. People keep coming up, oh, here's another letter from Paul. No, don't let that stuff fool you. Or what about the book of Enoch? Yeah, what about it? It's not in God's word.
That's right.
You
Amen.
Know, what about the book of Enoch? I'm just kidding now, of course. I mean, they come up with all kinds of stuff. Don't let anybody trick you or shake you from your composure. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. God has manifest him in your life and in the world. So don't be shaken by a letter as from us as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you. God said that would be the sign of his coming is deception. By any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away. That's the apostasy of the church first. And the man of sin be revealed. See, the son of perdition who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, there is no temple there right now, but they're planning one. So you and I know it's not time yet.
Not yet.
But the temple has to be there, and he has to go into that temple and say, I am the God. I am the Christ. Worship me. He will do this. And that's the sign of the man of sin. Now, the sign of the falling away of the church is what you and I, we've been seeing that for a while. You've been living in the midst of it. So we hoping now that you'll be in your word. Get in your word, study it, pray, seek God's face. Don't let people trouble you or shake you with all kinds of foolish prophecies. Yes. Stick to the ones God has given you.
Amen.
And walk by faith, not by sight. Our mission is to go into all the world, teach all the nations. We want to make sure people are saved. And that's what we have to do. That's what he went on to say to the Thessalonians. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what's preventing this from happening is the Holy Spirit. Verse 6 is about. For the mystery of iniquity does already work, only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, that wicked one. See that? And the Lord shall consume him. This is moving to the end of Daniel's prophecy. With the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy him with the brightness of his coming. When he comes, every eye will see him. You see? And the wicked will be destroyed upon his coming. See that? And he says, and this is the problem right here. He will deceive even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send on them strong delusion that they may believe a lie, and that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So you can go on and practice unrighteousness, but God has a recipe for you, and it's a recipe for disaster if you reject the Son. So that's really a deep message, but this is the time we live in. And I wanted to put all these things in your mind so you can be at ease. If you are saved, trust Christ. Keep doing it. And share him with as many as you know. Especially if you think they're on the fringes and they really don't understand the gospel. Make it plain so they can understand it. Be there, be a shoulder for them to lean on. You know, be a blessing to people and help them so they can come to know Christ.
Yes.
If you're here today and you are not saved, I'm just going to pass out the invitation at this time. We invite you to come right now. You don't have to do anything but believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall be saved. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by his great mercy that he poured out richly upon us in Christ Jesus by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, Titus 3 and 5 says. You know, he wants you to believe. The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Now what happens when you believe Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in, dwells in you. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise for the day of redemption. See, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And so that's what you need. If you're not saved, make sure you know that Christ is your Savior. You have trusted him. You believe him. You believe that God has raised him from the dead. The Bible says you shall be saved. Amen. Let us sing a song. Come,
come to Jesus while you have time. Come. take care of you.
Continue to look, watch, like the Bible says, Jesus said, watch and pray. Keep your eye open for the signs that God has given. Amen. And I believe from where we are in history that we are approaching that time.